So that brings me to my first guest, Erica Ford, the founder and CEO of Life Camp Incorporated. An internationally recognized and widely respected peacemaker, she's been at the forefront of reducing youth and community violence in the city and beyond for more than three decades, during which she has championed personal and systemic approaches to conflict resolution worldwide. Through Life Camp Incorporated's groundbreaking programs, Erica Ford has empowered thousands of people, thousands of individuals and families to break the cycle of violence and promote peace. So she joins me this morning to talk about Life Camp and her vision for a safer city. Erica Ford, welcome to WBAI.
Thank you for having me.
So I briefly introduced you, but would love our listeners to know more about you and your journey to become a peacemaker, because you've been at the forefront, as I noted, of reducing youth and community violence for more than three decades. What led you to pursue this?
The statistics was much worse in the 80s and 90s. There was more people dying, and a lot of them in Jamaica, Queens, were people that I grew up with. And I saw the impact of them losing their lives to gun violence or going to jail for 20, 30 years on their children and their families. And so that motivated me to, you know, want to do more around gun violence. And prior to that, you know, like some people go to church and they get saved. Well, I went to a rally on December 12th, 1987, and I got woke and got woke to the question, as young people say, woke. I got conscious to the fact that we have to do something in our neighborhood. We can't just stand around and watch situations and not question them or not get involved. And so when we see gun violence happening in our neighborhood now, these children are coming out of somebody's house. These children are somebody's grandchild. They're somebody's niece. They're somebody's nephew. And if we spend, you know, I've unfortunately attended way too many funerals in this journey to make peace a lifestyle. If we take the extra time to look in book bags, to look at our children's social media, to question them, to spend time with them, to give them that extra love and support, to raise the questions to your city council people or the elected officials around you to make sure that you have what you need to be the best parent, the best grandmother, the best aunt, the best uncle, the best grandfather, the best father to that child, then it helps alleviate that pain that you're going to feel in standing over that casket if, God forbid, something happens that takes that child's life, or going to that jail because that child took somebody else's life. And so let's put in that extra time right now, you know, and as we saw with the shooting at the restaurant, it doesn't matter if the situation is happening in the South Bronx or South Jamaica. If we don't respond and deal as a city, as a community, to the epidemic of violence, it's going to impact us anywhere you stand in this city. And so we have to work together. And that's what brought us to building the New York City Crisis Management System, because it wasn't one concept that can answer the problem, but it's us coming together, doing all the things that we do, whether it's mentorship, job programming, intervention and mediation and street work, in terms of just going up to young people who you know are the shooters and talking to them and spending time. That is more than how I got here, but that is what I believe is the answer.
So in creating Life Camp, what was your original vision? What impact did you hope to have?
Break the cycle. Give young people the tools to heal from the trauma that they were feeling from that loss.
And since its founding, how has Life Camp evolved and grown? I mean, I've just, in looking at your website and watching some of your previous interviews, it seems like you have grown substantially. You've received a lot of accolades. How has Life Camp changed over time?
So, as I was just saying, the creation of the New York City Crisis Management System, I think, would be the biggest part of growing. When we took the concept to the mayor's office, that time it was under Bluebird, and, you know, was able to be a force behind the starting of the task force, the anti-gun violence task force, that gave birth to the New York City crisis management system. And it started with five sites, $5 million, and now it's over 40 sites and over $56 million invested into violence prevention. And so if, and now we see on a federal level, the government, federal government investing, Biden investing $5 billion in violence prevention through various programs and RFPs, and now waiting to see whether the $5 billion gets passed through the infrastructure bill and the reconciliation bill, is even more investment in community violence intervention.
What I'd love to know is, I'd love to get a sense of how Life Camp responds when there's an incident. How do you help communities heal?
So two things, right? One is the response before the gun goes off, right? And so it's identifying those individuals who you know have the potential to be shot or shoot somebody, and basically pouring into that individual and helping that individual turn their life around, make different decisions, buy time by just getting them out the way, taking them different places and exposing them to the world. And doing meditation, doing yoga, doing sound baths and all kind of unconventional things, or just going in the studio and putting your pain on beats and recording your soul and letting the world know how you feel. There's various different ways of prevention. And then in terms of response, we will, you know, we have a 35-foot recreational vehicle that we turned into what we call the Peace Mobile. And so on the Peace Mobile, we have what we call Kepler's Kitchen, and it's about teaching people how to eat more alkaline than acidic, the impact of your diet on how you show up in the world. We do healing circles and sound baths, and like I stated before, we have a full recording studio or the Peace Mobile where we do pain on beats, or we have a punching bag where we just let them come and get it out, you know, get that anger, that rage out, teach them about the discipline of boxing and just thinking and getting their game, you know, their mental game into their own life, because you got to be on point.
It's interesting because you just used a word that leads me to the next question when you mentioned mental health. And, you know, many people might not view gun violence as a mental health issue, but in looking at it that way, it helps to address any underlying factors. How do you change mindsets? How do you get people to understand that viewing gun violence as a public health issue is crucial to resolving this?
Yeah. And so just like the coronavirus, right, if someone is exposed to trauma, what happens with that individual's heart? What happens with their soul? What happens with their mind? If they're exposed to trauma every single day for 5 years, then what was created in that individual, where there is no therapist, there's no social worker, there's no healing mechanisms to help that person understand the feelings that they're feeling. So they build anger inside of them. Then they're on top of that eating fast food, eating food that builds the rage inside of them, you know, and that creates an individual that is walking around ready to explode. And so when a situation happens, what you see is not what just happened, but is the years of accumulation of trauma and anger and the inability to understand and release the pain that they have inside of them without the right tools and understanding that you have to get help, is what you see. And so trauma is in the beginning, the middle, and the end of violence. And it is important for us to tap into individuals' hearts and souls. And that's why I say to parents, spend a little extra time just listening and looking and understanding your child, because they can be walking around ready to explode. And everybody has to know that nobody wakes up wanting to shoot somebody. Nobody wakes up wanting to fight with the world. Something happens to people and their lives spins and it changes. And they don't know how to deal with their pain. And so we have to help them heal. Just like we tell people wear a mask and quarantine. Well, they're unable to quarantine, you know, with their pain and anger. And so it just keeps bouncing off each other, you know, watching these incidents of violence day after day after day.
It feels like so long ago, but if you think about it, in a way, I think it's only about a month to 2 months ago. This summer, the now former governor declared a gun violence emergency in New York State, calling it an epidemic of gun violence. Why do you think we reached that point?
I think we've been at that point for a long time. I know particularly, you know, I was going back and forth with the governor's office from February, raising those points. So I think that we've been in a state of emergency a long time ago. And I think that we need to move in a sense of urgency. Although we are in a state of emergency, we're not moving like we're in a state of emergency. I understand that we have to change from one governor to the next, but that doesn't negate the fact that our children are still dying. And so there should not be a pause. Like, I can't accept the fact that our children's death in the inner cities of New York City and around the nation is not an emergency. Two people, what is it, six people died in Philadelphia over the weekend? Mm-hmm. Right, there are over 500 shootings in Philadelphia. Like, we have to do better for black and brown kids. We have to do better. It's been a state of emergency. You can ask many parents throughout New York City who lost their children. 28-year-old pregnant mother shot and killed last weekend, coming from a baby shower. I spoke at one funeral last week. Then the end of the week, the mother's calling me with another mother who was at the funeral whose son got killed that night. And she called me. Like, this is, and we are in a state of emergency. When I could sit in my house in St. Albans, Queens, and hear gunshots, we're in a state of emergency. People are getting shot on 42nd Street and at the restaurant and babies being killed. We're in a state of emergency. The state just got to get to the emergency.
So we've only got about 2 minutes left, and given that, I'd love for you to give some counsel to our listeners. What can our listeners do? If people are listening and they're like, I want to get involved, I want to do something, I agree with you, this is a state of emergency, how can people get involved? What can they do?
So first and foremost is let's call the governor and let the governor know that there is a state of emergency and we have to move rapidly, right? We need to open up facilities in these communities that have these high incidents of violence so that the people on the front line can do something with these young people, right? We need larger, there's no spaces that the people on the front line control and operate. And so call your elected officials, right? And urge them to respond to the state of emergency. People can text Fund Peace, FUNDPEAC, Fund Peace to 51555, 51555, and become part of the Fund Peace support team. We are around the nation in various cities working to resolve gun violence, working throughout New York City. And join us, support us, be a mentor, be a donor, be a teacher. There's various things that folks can do. So join us. Text FUNDPEACE to 51555 and join us is all I can say.
And also, if our listeners would like to learn more about Life Camp Incorporated, how can they do that?
They could either come to our website and sign up on our volunteer and information, you know, send info to Pieces of Lifestyle. They can come to the website and definitely connect to us. They can come to our office on Supton and Linden, or they can call us at 646 258 0936-646-258-0936 and just become part of what we're doing here in the city.
Erica Ford, I'd like to thank you so much for joining me here on City Watch this morning on WBAI.
Thank you for having me.
And Erica mentioned the website. Just want to make sure you have that. That is peaceisalifestyle.com. That way you can find out more information about Life Camp Incorporated. You have been listening to City Watch on WBAI 99.5 FM. And we're also, as always, streaming live at WBAI.org. I'm your host this weekend. My co-host David Brand is off today. And I was just talking with Erica Ford, founder and CEO of Life Camp Incorporated.